You're listening to Connecting Faith. We always appreciate the opportunity to connect with friends who help us grow and understand our faith and apply it better. And certainly when it comes to sharing that faith, we all recognize we need a little help and encouragement and to be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have. It doesn't just happen without preparation and intention. So over the past few weeks, we've been taking time to visit with Rick Mattson, who's an apologetics specialist at the University Christian Fellowship. He's served on staff there for about 3 decades, and he's author of Faith is Like Skydiving and Other Memorable Images for Dialogue with Seekers and Skeptics, and he frequently speaks on college and university campuses across the country. And so we get together and we talk about a variety of aspects of how we can more effectively share our faith. And Rick, last time we were talking, we just went through some kind of basic ways in which we can pray for non-Christian friends, because that really is maybe as much as anything a key step. I mean, you think, well, it's you know, it's not about memorizing 4 spiritual laws or a bunch of scriptures. That's important. But prayer really is a foundation.
It really is. And I'm all for being prepared, but sometimes we have to go off script. Whether we're on script or off script, prayer is the power behind this as the Holy Spirit works. And Neil, I was just thinking about that story in Acts where Lydia comes to faith in Christ. It's Acts 16:14. It says, one of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She's a businesswoman. She was a worshiper of God, and it says the text, the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. So I'm sure Paul was prepared. He had messages that he gave, but it wasn't the power of Paul so much that opened Lydia's heart. It was the power of God opening her heart to what Paul was saying. And I think that's the prayer that we're sending out in advance, you might say. Yeah. That, Lord, when the Word of God comes to people, would you be the one who is opening their heart to receive it? Give them what the Scripture calls ears to hear, and give them eyes to see what you're doing and to respond positively to it.
And I'm sure those prayers can be done, you know, probably in secret and in private a long time ahead of time, but probably those quick little Lord, help me kind of prayers in the middle of a conversation probably useful too, aren't they?
Yeah, totally. I have this image of myself and other people who are sharing the faith, and it goes like this. Sorry, we're on radio. It doesn't work that well. Okay, I have my head tilted to the right, and I'm listening to this person with my right ear, okay? And my left ear is pointed more toward heaven. Of course, this would look odd in a restaurant. I wouldn't actually be doing it. I'd be thinking this, maybe not doing it physically. But I'm carrying on 2 conversations at the same time here. I'm listening to what the Spirit is saying to me as I'm having a conversation with this person. So my friend Larry, who's a highly educated PhD person, we're sitting in Arby's one day, and we get on to spiritual things and philosophical things, as I'm wont of doing. It was really a great conversation. And he has the gift of listening. I'm so impressed with him as a listener. He's not a follower of Jesus, but he just takes account of everything I say. And I thought to myself, this is a gift that the Lord has given him, and I think it's an indication that, A, I need to say something worthwhile that's listening, but that he's going to listen to the gospel as well. So as we talked together that day in the Arby's restaurant right here in Roseville, I was listening to the Lord. What are you prompting me to say right now? Should we be talking philosophy, theology? Should I be quoting some Bible verses or just listening to him? Or how does that go? And so we had an hour and a half conversation, and I can tell you all of those things happened. There was some philosophy because we both enjoy that. There were some theological musings about the nature of God. I talked about some scripture that I've been reading and some personal testimony and story from my own life. But the whole time, I'm praying to God, Lord, give me what he needs to hear right now. I want to be in step with what you're doing in this conversation. I'm not the leader of this conversation. Yeah. So, it was just, it was so fun. I was so excited. I'm getting excited right now, actually.
Well, you know, as you talked about, you know, the illustration of, you know, God opened up Lydia's heart. I mean, that doesn't always happen in the first conversation or even after an hour and a half conversation.
No.
So we need to have some persistence in prayer too, don't we?
Yeah. And I think if we're praying for a person and we're caring about them, and we're communicating to the gospel, it can take minutes, hours. It can take any amount of time. We don't always know. It could be weeks or months or years, and we just need to be patient and walk with that person at the pace that the Spirit is moving in their life. And that gets back to this image of us being detectives. We're the investigators here. We're trying to discern what is God doing in their life and at what pace is he doing it. And so praying into that, asking him what he's doing, and then being sensitive to that when we get into these conversations, watching for what the Lord is doing, and then stepping through those open doors that he provides.
I just think as you use that phrase about being the detective, it's, you know, there's never a cold case, right?
No.
I mean, all the cases are active, right?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean,
that's true.
No one's too far gone. I mean, maybe it's been, you know, 5, 10, 15 years, but yeah. God's still at work.
Yeah, one of my friends is a pretty hostile, hardcore atheist, but I still pray. Mm-hmm. We still get together. We still talk. I haven't given up on him yet. And you know what? He hasn't given up on me either. And that's, I think, a small sign that the Lord wants me to continue in this relationship.
Say more about that detective work. I mean, there's listening, but detectives do other things too, I guess. Flesh that out a little bit for us.
Yeah. Well, I think if I happen to be a golfer, so yeah. If I'm on the golf course and a person who's not a Christian is starts sharing about their life a little bit, because I'm inquisitive, I ask questions, and they start sharing about things that are more personal to them than they normally would. Just you know, folks on the golf course, you're talking about golf or sure. recreation or, you know, lighter topics. But if that person starts going deeper into their life, it happens to be a business person or a student or whatever, and is sharing more personally, and if I'm sensitive to what God is doing in this situation, if I've asked him to use me, then I'm starting to think to myself, wow, this is going somewhere. This is God working. This is opening up conversation and dialogue at a level, at a depth that I wasn't necessarily expecting. We were just talking about putting. Now we're talking about their personal life and broken relationships and business problems and so forth. Okay, I'm going to listen. And then at some point, I'm going to look for an opening that I might be able to suggest to this person that they can count on me to be praying for them, upholding them. Is there anything I can do to actually help serve them in some way? Had they thought of just asking God for some guidance and some help? Whatever it is, you know, you putt and then you walk over to the next tee and you drive, you walk down the fairway and you're into these conversations. It's amazing if you're open to them, I think. But if the other person is disclosing themselves at this level, I take that to be a pretty strong sign that God is working in this relationship. That's my detective work. And then I can enter into what he is already doing. And that's the key. I know we talked about this before, but God is prior. I am second. He does his work. I respond. He opens the doors. I walk through. He works in their lives. I participate with him in what he is already doing. That takes the pressure off me to manufacture these things. Yeah. I'm not that good.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I think I heard somebody recently saying, you know, the reality is that most people are more interested in having conversations that get into spiritual things than we think they are. And so we're hesitant, and rightfully so. Mm-hmm. We want to be, you know, with gentleness and respect, but that people are interested.
Yeah, they really are. And especially if we're showing respect for them, a little bit of restraint, but I think we need to be praying our way through these conversations, listening to what the Lord is saying, yeah. and respond appropriately. And I think it means becoming more natural and unforced in our spiritual conversations. I should be able to talk about spiritual things in the same natural way that I might talk about the weather or the Timberwolves or the latest movie that's come out.
Yeah, you're talking about, you know, inviting people, maybe various levels, to consider different things, you know, maybe offering, can I pray for you? Would you ever do that sort of in the moment, or does that you have to wait and see, I guess, if they're comfortable with that?
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, often I do that. I just ask their permission.
Okay.
Said, hey, I'm a praying guy. Would it be okay if I paused right now and just quick prayed for you? and lifted this need up to the Lord, and then I'll do that right there. My friend Mike and I were at a restaurant one day out at the Mall of America. The wait person came by. He was serving us really well, and we got into a conversation with him, and it went a little deeper than any of us expected. And we said to him, "We are praying men. Can we pray for you right now? I know you're on the clock, but this won't take long, maybe 20 seconds. He said, "Yes, please." So we did right there in the restaurant. Yeah. And I think if we're sensitive to those openings that the Lord is providing, and if we take just a little bit of risk, we can walk through those openings. But I like to ask permission. I don't like to assume, presume anything. I don't want to impose. If they're uncomfortable with that, don't want it, that's fine. We'll talk more, and maybe we'll get to that later. But for now, I want their permission to do that. And if I get it, then we're off to the races.
And we're talking about prayer, about being a good detective, and, you know, asking permission, just being sensitive, be listeners, be good listeners today. And we've listened to Rick Mattson again today, apologetic specialist for University Christian Fellowship, author of the book Faith is Like Skydiving and Other Memorable Images for Dialogue with Seekers and Skeptics. I encourage you to check out the book for some great, maybe new ways that you can engage in dialogue with some friends and neighbors and coworkers that you are caring about, want to share faith, and let's just be encouraging each other to pray as well. You can connect with Rick at his website, rickmatsonoutreach.com.